All right, welcome to Coffee with Marcus and Mark. And in this show, we're going to talk to you about what's happening in the markets and how we are trading it. And today is Friday, October 21st, and there's a lot going on because yesterday stocks fell for a second day in a row. Interest rates are skyrocketing, and we had a pretty bad earnings report from Snap yesterday after the bell. So how are the markets reacting to this? And even more importantly, how are we going to trade this? If this is your first time here, hi, I'm Marcus Hardcutter. This is my head coach, Mark Hodge, and we're real traders who trade live accounts. So we got a lot of trading experience. We're showing you how we trade these crazy markets. So trust me, we know our stuff and we're not afraid to tell you like it is. So if you're looking for some honest insights into the fascinating world of trading, you are in the right place. Now, with that said, I mean, Mark, these markets, jeez.
I mean, Marcus, like you said, a 2-day slide for the major indices, and you know, they weren't big drops, and we're still positive for the week. But I'll be honest, today we're up a little bit, but there's been some decent volatility here. We're on a roller coaster ride this morning.
Oh, absolutely. And if you just look at a 5-minute chart of the S&P for the week, we just see what's happening. So on Monday, we gapped higher, we're trading up and then trading at this elevated levels. Tuesday, massive gap up and then pulling all the way back, trying to recover, pulling back, still closing higher. So these 2 days are setting us positive for the week, basically, because that's where we finished on Friday. And ever since, yeah, I mean, we talked about it just a few minutes ago. I thought it was diddling along, but you're right. This is roller coasting along.
Yeah, it looks like that range that we had on Monday, especially around the close, and that's acted as support. Today, we've been going above and below that level. And if you kind of zoom in on the 5-minute chart for today, I mean, we were negative at the beginning. We had a nice rally. We pulled back. We dipped negative. Now we're, I mean, I think we started this video, we're up maybe 0.4, 0.5%. Now we're up only 0.1%. So we're still moving.
Markets are finding direction because there's two main things that traders are focusing right now, and this is earnings and interest rates. And I mean, earnings, they have been good thus far. So the only two that didn't come out too well, the bigger ones was Tesla yesterday plummeting, what, around 6%, and still right now hanging out there. And then yesterday after the bell, I think the big one was Snap.
Yeah, Snap getting hammered here. They reported lower sales growth, and they said advertisers were cutting back on spending. It's interesting. They said that it's operating on an assumption there will be no revenue growth in the current quarter, and investors are not liking that. It's carrying over into other companies as well, just because of that revenue disappointment.
Yeah, because then we have to look at Meta, formerly known as Facebook, who are also right now down 3.5%. They report earnings in 5 days, but this is where right now the fear is, okay, if Snap is feeling it, will Facebook feel it as well? And then another advertiser, of course, or let's actually stay at social media, Twitter down 4%, and then Google. I mean, massive income or revenue stream from advertising, and also down 1.5%.
Yeah, Google actually going positive briefly, but pulling back again. You know, it was interesting because we were talking about Twitter. And if you go back to Twitter, I was surprised. At one point at the open, Twitter was down 5%. And knowing that there's this deal with Elon Musk to buy Twitter and his pricing, I was surprised that there was that carryover there that they'd be down so much because of Snap's results. But I also saw that Bloomberg reported that Biden administration officials are discussing whether the U.S. should subject some of Elon Musk's ventures to national security reviews. So there's a little bit of that downside being priced into that uncertainty. And that explains it a little bit more to me at least in my opinion, rather than just being Snap.
And again, next week, well, earnings season in full gear. So Twitter reporting earnings, Google reporting earnings. I believe that also Facebook is reporting earnings next week. So next week, big four tech companies. And this is where everybody was looking at Snap and saying, okay, what's happening here? Is this what Snap has experienced, typical for the industry, or is this isolated to Snap? We shall see. Yeah, but then also, I mean, this morning, first of all, let's take a look at the U.S. 10-year yield here. I mean, we are just marching higher. It is crazy. We're at levels that we haven't seen in 2008. And this basically moves right into 30-year mortgages. I mean, 30-year mortgages right now standing above 7% at 7.37. This is from Mortgage News Daily. Wow. And they're surveying every day. And so we are way above 7. So we haven't seen these levels since, I want to see, 2002 probably. So in 20 years.
Time to refi?
For sure not right now. For sure not right now. But then this where, since it is all about earnings and interest rates. So if you look at the 5-minute chart of the E-mini NASDAQ, so overnight, we were moving lower, and this is because of Snap earnings. And okay, how will this affect Google? How will this affect Facebook? How will this affect Twitter, Pinterest, all the others? But then we had this massive rally here. And this came after a report from the Wall Street Journal that some Fed officials are concerned that rates are being raised too quickly.
And that, you know, It definitely caused a spike in the market. In fact, you know, we were talking and I was wondering, because I didn't see that headline, and I was wondering if there was a report that I missed, right? Because typically you have reports coming out 8:30 a.m. Eastern time or 10 a.m. Eastern time. And so that 8:30 a.m. pre-market window is usually when you see a reaction. And I was wondering, what the heck's going on here? But yeah, if some Fed members are saying that the Fed might be too aggressive and needs to you know, keep in mind that there's also the economy to protect, and you know, maybe pausing or at least having a opinion on when we're stopping or even reducing those rates, the markets are going to love that. Traders are going to love that, because we know that these higher rates are not good for the markets.
Yeah, because yesterday, if you look at this, I mean, nothing has changed in terms of what will happen here on the November 2nd meeting that is around the corner. I mean, traders are still expecting that there will be a 75 basis point hike. But what has shifted is the probabilities for next year, because yesterday traders have factored in that rates will go above 5%. And right now they say, well, we might stop just shy of 5%. And also the probabilities for the next meeting, they have shifted a little bit, the December meeting. So if you look here at the comparison, we see that just yesterday there was a 75% probability of another 0.75% hike, but now it dropped down to 61. I mean, earlier this morning after this news broke, this was as low as 50%. And this is where right now, that's why the markets are so nervous. I mean, it's just all about interest rates. Look at this here. What's happening to the 10-year yield?
Interesting. Yeah, 10-year yield hitting 14-year highs and then pulling back a little bit. But we'll see where that ends up. Yeah.
No, also, I mean, for us, there wasn't too much to do this week, right? Because let me actually show you an article that I found before we talk about our positions and what we did this week. I found this article on Yahoo. If you want to be really rich, use these three Warren Buffett trading techniques that no one ever talks about. It's an article that was published in the beginning of October. So okay. Guess what? The number one technique is selling put options.
Well, wouldn't you know?
Wouldn't you know? Wouldn't you know? And I mean, this is where they look back. And in the 2007 report, they had 94 options, which generated over $7.7 billion in premium. And okay. I mean, the most famous example is the one from 1993, where Buffett used put options to pocket $7.5 million in income while waiting for the price of Coca-Cola shares to drop.
I mean, that's why we love to sell puts. And that's the first step when we do trade the wheel, because by selling puts below where a stock's trading, we're always in a position to buy shares at a discount, and we're getting paid up front, kind of like getting the dividend in advance before we buy shares. So for us, it's a win-win, but it comes down to stock selection, really.
It's like this. You're getting paid to buy stocks at a cheaper price than they are trading right now. Just to look at an example, let's just go over here to the Wheel Analyzer, see if we have anything right now. But yeah, even if you use NVIDIA here, which is right now trading at $120, so you're getting paid $72 to buy it at $108. And that's a 10% discount off from where it is trading right now. That's why we love trading the wheel.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And you see, when we're trading the wheel, we like to sell puts when the markets are moving lower, and we like to sell calls when the markets are moving higher. And if you look at a 5-minute chart of this week, I mean, we were busy on Monday and Tuesday selling some calls. You sold the Google calls against your existing position, the covered calls.
Yes, I did. I sold those 104 calls against my position, had some nice premium there. And then yesterday I was rolling them out to next week. So rolled it for a nice credit as well. And right now Google's trading at 98.56. So far, so good. And collecting some premium, renting out my shares.
Yeah. So, I mean, and even there on Tuesday, markets dropped a little bit from the open. Overall, they were still up for the day. So Tuesday was also more of a day for selling calls. And then on Wednesday, even markets finished lower on Wednesday. We didn't see a whole lot of things that excites us, because the other thing is we don't want to trade and sell puts into earnings. And therefore, right before earnings, we have a little bit fewer stocks to consider. And so this week it was mainly about selling calls. And then for me, selling puts for my NVIDIA rescue mission.
Actually, Marcus, there was a great question with our last video on earnings and why the heck we'd want to own shares or sell calls into earnings or sell puts into earnings. And this was a great question, because for me personally, if I'm going to sell puts, I'd rather have two earnings cycles before earnings. But then
two expiration cycles.
Two expiration cycles. What did I say?
Two earnings cycles.
Two expiration cycles. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. I'm so glad that I finally can correct you, because usually I'm the one who bumbles along here and you have to correct me. So, yay.
No. We're a good team. But owning shares, and why would you want to own shares? Because he used the example of NVAX. Marcus, will you bring up PowerX Optimizer and the earnings analysis tool and look at NVAX?
Yeah, absolutely. So let's do this, and let's bring up Novavax.
So the question was, why the heck would you want to own shares of a company going into earnings when they can drop 30%? And I totally agree. I would not want to own shares of a company that has the potential to drop 30%. And if we look at the 7-day move here, NVAX was up 3 out of 12 times, or you could say down actually 9 out of 12 times over the last 12 quarters, for an average loss of about 15%. So I wouldn't trade NVAX with the wheel, but if I own shares of NVAX, I would not want to go into earnings because there's too much volatility and too much of a potential drop. Look at those losses over like the last 8 quarters. I mean, I think you are positive maybe twice, but huge losses. So yeah, bad idea to own shares, but look at Google.
Yeah, that's why I think it's super important that you have the data and that you know, okay, going into earnings, should you be concerned? Should you maybe hedge? Should you unwind your position? So let's talk about a few positions that we have. Yeah, Google. Let's take a look at this example.
I mean, this is completely different. So we are not comparing apples to apples when it comes to earnings. And of course, anything can happen. I mean, Google could drop 5%. However, looking at the numbers, that would be an outlier. That would be rare, right? And it could be down, but even if it's down, I'm comfortable owning shares of Google. I'm happy to own Google shares. And by selling calls for next week, which is during that earnings, I'm getting paid more with those calls because of the potential for it to move. But look at that, 10 out of 12 times positive. You look at the average gain and versus the average loss, even if the average holds up down 3.5%, that's not that big of a deal.
Yeah, it is not. So, and looking at the other positions that we have here, NVIDIA, very similar. So up more often than down, and the average move is around the same. So it's around 9% to the upside, 8% to the downside. We see the min and the max here. And then we can also do this for TPR here. TPR, a little bit more often to the downside, but look at the average. On average, when it moves up, 14%. Yeah, I mean, as much as 18%. And when it goes down, it's often just a few percent down here. This is why it's important that you just have professional tools to trade based on data and not based on opinion. But you, since you mentioned it, I want to take a look at Novavax and also discuss of why we would not trade this as a wheel stock. Let's talk about this for a moment, Mark.
Yeah, I mean, actually, this popped up numerous times over the last year or so. And in our mastermind group, we said we would not touch this thing. I mean, look at the volatility. We're not looking to trade a volatile stock that could go from, you know, 10 to 400 bucks or whatever it is. You know, that's nuts. That's more of a crazy bucket, Marcus.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, this is almost like a meme stock, and this is why I flagged this as a never ever trade this, because I mean, at some point it was trading what, around $4, and went all the way up to $340, just to plummet to $120, going back up there. So yes, of course, with this volatility, you get a lot of premium, but that's why it's important that you're selecting the right stocks, and this is definitely not the right stock to trade the wheel on.
No, myself.
Yeah, talking about the right stocks to trade, I actually did a video on this and I'll link to it right here. So take a look at this video. This explains a little bit how we are picking the stocks that we want to trade the wheel on. And this is super, super important. Take a look at this and then we'll see you again on Monday. Have a great weekend.
Happy trading, everybody.